My name is Debbie Keller, and my company is Home and Office Transitions. I provide move management services for individuals and companies. We were looking for a company with high quality service, integrity, and one that was committed to the same high standards of customer service that we were. And we found all of those in Ewing Moving and Storage.
This program is brought to you by River of Heaven Radio Network USA World, produced by Kayla Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Network USA World. USA toll-free callers 1-929-477-2324. Again, that's 1-929-477-2324.
Hey guys, this is Sam, aka The Happy Crow. I would like to welcome you all to another episode of the Whosoever Group Radio Show. Glad to have you with us today. And just want to tell you, don't forget to check us out online. Check us out at www.whosoevergroup.com, facebook.com/whosoevergroup, and Twitter at Whosoever Group. All right, so let's get started. Today we're talking about a subject that's rather interesting, being light. What does that mean? We're going to look at, for our main verse, we're looking at John 18:12. I'm going to read from the NIV version for this one. When Jesus spoke again to the people, he said, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows with me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." So what does it mean to be the light of the world? There's two different points of view on this. The one point of view is how the church looks at it and the world looks at it. When I say the church looks at it, it doesn't mean every church. So let me be very specific on that. It does not mean every church. I'm making a generalization. So some churches look at it this way, and then also the world can kind of look at it that way. And then the second way to look at it is, what does it mean biblically? From the world's and sometimes the church's perspective, it demands perfection. What is it? So to be like can demand perfection in that version of it. What does that mean? So you're a Christian. Okay, go ahead, mess up. I dare you. That's kind of what how the world will look at it, because whenever you mess up or anything, well, you're a Christian, so, and that means you can't do anything wrong. That puts a lot of pressure on us, and that's never going to change. Just letting you know as a listener, you're like, well, maybe they'll look at us different. Nope, it's never going to change. So that's always going to be there. I'm not putting pressure on you. I'm just being honest. That will always be there. So what else we have? We have the church. The church, a lot of times, can do the same thing. What do I mean by that? Well, you can have the church saying, well, you messed up. So what would Jesus do? Yeah, okay, I know what Jesus would do. He was perfect. He didn't make that mistake. So what now? A lot of times, you get this guilt trip. Well, Jesus wouldn't do that, so you shouldn't either. I know that, but I messed up and I need help. And that's where sometimes there's failings. The people have not been able to help. And then you also have the judgment that can come from that. You can have the, well, how dare you mess up? I never did. Well, to take it from a little sarcastic viewpoint, I'm using a random name here, so don't like, well, I'm perfect. And thanks, Sandy. I don't know why you're telling me you never did that, because you're not me. I know I mess up. I'm glad, Sandy, that you're perfect. I'm not. Now, I know that's a very cynical way to talk about it, but the point being, you will have those types of people. Those people who will look at you and judge you right off the bat and say that you have to be perfect because I don't do this wrong. A response that I don't recommend you saying to them, let me reiterate that I don't recommend you saying this, is, well, Sandy, once again, Sandy's not a real person. I'm just using a random name. Well, Sandy, how you're looking at me is through the sin of pride. So while I may do X, you are doing pride. So why don't we both work on something together? Once again, don't say that. That's not going to bring any form of togetherness. My point being that everyone has these issues. Everyone. So when we have this problem in our lives, we have to figure this out. How are we going to be light, even though we're going to be sinful? Because we're never going to get away from it. We're always going to be working on it, but we're never getting away from it. So another version that we can say is light exposes darkness. So if light exposes darkness, how can we do that? Because we're sinful people, so if we point one thing out, it's that old saying, you know, you point the finger at me, you got three fingers pointing back, or four fingers pointing back at you. True. So how do we do that? A lot of times we can have the self-righteous people, like the fictional Sandy that we talked about, going out and pointing and saying, hey, you're doing wrong, repent, which there's a time and a place for that. But that's generally not always where we should be going with this. We can be light, and I'm going to give you an example of how Jesus did this. And we can also make sure we talk about and bring to light the subjects that are real in this world today. So I'm going to tell you guys a couple subjects, and you can tell me, and or not tell me because I can't hear you, but you can think to yourself, how has this been handled by people that I've seen? Examples of, let's say, homosexuality, social justice, you know, between, like, for the United States, we have, like, a lot of the Black Lives Matter things going on. Let's talk about the inequity in things, things like that. And then you can insert whatever thing you feel super strong about. Now, whatever those things are, and you think those should be brought up, and or you think that they are being handled in the wrong way, what does God say about it? What's right? What's wrong? What does God say about it? And I'm gonna show you an example of something in the Bible where Jesus very specifically handled the situation and did it perfect. So obviously he did it perfect because he's, you know, God. But let's look at John 8, 1 through 11. Remember, our actual verse is, our main verse for this chapter, for this talk today, is John 8, 12. But I'm going to read John 8, 1 through 11. Jesus went onto the Mount of Olives, and early in the morning he came again into the temple, and all the people came to him when he sat down and talked to them. The scribes and the Pharisees brought unto him a woman who was taken in adultery. Translation, they caught her mid-sex. That's what had happened. Then they pretty much threw her in front of him. They say unto him, Master, this woman was taken in the act of adultery. Now Moses' law commands us that she should be stoned. But what do you say? They said this to him, tempting him, that they might have reason to accuse him. Now what does that mean? Because they wanted him to be like, no, let her go. So they go, ha, you didn't enforce the law. Or if he enforced the law, then they could be like, oh, he didn't show any mercy. No matter which way what decision he, in the normal sense, would have made, they were going to make it into a negative for him. They wanted to blame him in some way, shape, or form. So, Jesus kind of, he didn't really answer him. But he just stooped down and wrote into the ground. And the Bible says, as though he heard them not. So he 100% ignored them. Jesus went so far above their problem, their little scheme. He was already way above it, and he completely ignored it. And I love that fact. That just shows you how awesome he was. As the youngins would say, he did it like a boss. So when they kept asking him, he lifted himself up. Remember, he was writing on the ground. And he said, he who is without sin among you, let him cast the first stone. And then he went down and kept writing. Verse 9. And they which heard it, being convicted by their own conscience, went out one by one, beginning with the eldest, even unto the last, meaning the youngest, and Jesus was left alone with the woman standing right there. So a lot of scholars like to think that we don't have any proof of this, but let's use logic and say this makes the most sense. Jesus was writing down different sins on the ground. As what else would he be writing? Let's say he wrote just the word lust, because this woman was caught in adultery, in the act of sex, outside of marriage, and also with somebody else that she wasn't married to. So she got in that act, but then Jesus wrote lust, because that's a sin. What happens if he wrote theft, anything, whatever sin he wrote down? You know that when they saw that, because it says being convicted by their own conscience, Jesus didn't throw it in their face. He just said, this is sin. And they knew what was right and wrong. And then that's when they all left one by one. And the best part was, it says the oldest to the youngest. Because as you get older, you get more and more aware. And I've noticed this in my life. As I get older, I get more and more aware of my own mortality. Not only mortality, but my own who I am, my beings, and my own faults. As you become more aware of those, your own version of self-righteousness, it kind of gets pushed down and stomped out because you realize how imperfect you are. So the oldest ones were the ones who left first because they kind of realized that right away. The younger ones normally hold on to your self-righteousness for a little while, and then finally you get backed into a corner. I know this because when I was younger, I was self-righteous, as most young people are. But then you kind of realize as you go along. Now let's see what Jesus said to the woman. After he stood up, he said to the woman, Where are your accusers? Hasn't anyone condemned you? She said, No, no one's condemned me, Lord. No man has condemned me. And Jesus said, Neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more. He forgave her in that moment. But he called it for what it was, sin. This, and then the next verse. So we're talking about being light. He was light in that moment to a woman's very dark world. The next verse is our main verse. We're going to read that one again. And then he spoke to the people and said, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. How amazing is that? That he literally beforehand gave you the example of how to do it and then told you about it afterwards. He led by example and then explained himself. It blows my mind, and it's amazing that that's what he did. And the afterwards, after he said about that being the light, the Pharisees argued with him afterwards. Why? Because they were not willing to accept the truth. No matter what, they did not have any intention of accepting the truth. But he literally just showed you how to do it beforehand. So some people, here's the honest truth. You're going to be light, and people are still going to refuse to see it. When you are the light of the world, as Christ said we should be, sometimes people just are not going to see it. You can hand somebody $100, but no matter what, it's their choice whether they're going to take it or not. And that's really hard for us as people to do, because our general disposition is we want to make other people happy, and you want to do the right thing. And then sometimes people are just not going to accept it, and then they're going to probably hate you for it. They did that with Jesus. They literally nailed love to a tree. Think about that for a second. The embodiment of love, they nailed to a tree, and he died horribly. And he is truth, light, and love. That's crazy to me. So it's not going to be easy for you. So to be light in this world, it's not going to be the simple thing. So what are you doing with your family? sometimes it's going to cause division. Let's say you have a family member who's doing something wrong in their life. You love them, and but here's an example. This is a non-family example. This is one that happened with me, to give you some thoughts. There was a coworker that I had, and in a conversation we got talking about gay marriage, and he said that he officiated one. I was like, oh. And we were just talking about, and then he asked me a question with what I believe. He said, wait, so are you saying that being gay is a sin? I said, yeah, it's no different than any other sin, because all sin is the same with God. Whether you cross that line by an inch or by a mile, it doesn't matter. You're over the line. And he got very upset about that and very offended. So it's not, even when you tell the truth, even in love, it's not always going to equal peace. And once again, how do we know that? They literally nailed love to a tree. So it's not always going to end as easy as we would like it to. It's not always going to come out in flowers and roses, as much as we would love it to as humans, because we want to get along with people. And especially when you have Christ's heart, he is love, and you want to love people. And in that love, you want to be able to bring them up so there's peace and harmony. It's not always going to happen. And remember, we're not trying to go for division. I want to put some real emphasis on that. Our point is, as being light in this world, is not to, when you expose darkness, not just doing it and then have no follow-up afterwards. Because a lot of times people are like, this is wrong. And then that's the only thing you're, that's the only doing the situation. What about, this is wrong, let me help you. And when they push back on you, this is the hardest part, is you will get pushback. That's what Jesus said about turning the other cheek. Okay, you're getting pushback, you slap me on my right cheek, now I'm going to say, here, how can I love you? That's hard. That's not easy. Especially when people are just, you touch on something, any subject that someone feels very strongly about, you're going to get some hard pushback. It's not going to be like, because they're going to feel like you're attacking them personally, which is also why it's so important for you yourself to live up to the standard that Christ set. Because Christ said, follow me. He didn't say pray a prayer. He said, follow me. In that following him, you're following in your life, in your actions, all those different things. That's not easy. And also, I don't remember the verse off the top of my head. I wish I had it written down. But he said, the Bible talks about, so no man can, so pretty much living a life so that no man can say, oh, like, point this out at you, throw it against you. That's a hard life to live, and it means you're going to, it can be a little lonely, but you always have Christ with you. The point being, if you live beyond reproach, no matter what anyone says, anyone around you is going to be like, no, you're making stuff up. Because I know this guy, he's a good person, this is what he does, this is his life, he follows what he believes, he does everything the right way. Does he mess up? Of course, because no one's perfect. But you're not going to have like somebody point out something huge and be like, ha, gotcha. You don't want to have that gotcha moment. So that's why you have to really follow Christ in everything you do. It's not going to be this quick gotcha, it's not going to be this quick, oh, well, I'm going to point something out in you, then when you point it out at me, I got nothing else to say, and you just completely debunked my argument. No, because if your faith is that, and your points you're making are that fragile, that someone can poke one hole, and then the whole house of cards comes tumbling down, that's why you have to, yourself as a Christian, build up your life, your relationship with Christ, know what you believe, know why you believe what you believe, and also have your roots deep in faith. And to have your roots deep in faith, one thing I suggest, as I've been getting into this more, and I'm suggesting it because it's this fascinating topic, is apologetics. You can get into that, and there's a lot of good places to look online for that. I'm not going to give you any specific examples. Talk to your pastor about that. That is once they talk to somebody in leadership and ask them for examples of what to look for apologetics. What that is defending your faith and knowing why you believe what you believe and defending. There's some really cool stuff. You can even, for example, that this is going to go over some people's heads, but the Bible prophesied the destruction of a city called Tyre. And in that talk, like you look in history and regular, not biblical history, but regular history books and look at what happened to that city. It's exactly what exactly what was prophesied, and that's cool. So when someone tries to poke a hole in your argument, you have things to back up. Know what you believe. So what is it? Know what you believe. Number one, to be light, you have to know it. You have to live it. Live that life of light. Say that 5 times fast. Life of light. And in everything you do, walk around knowing that people have that viewpoint of you. Oh, you're a Christian? Okay, go ahead, mess up, I dare you. And as for churches, please remember, we're not perfect, we're going to mess up, and we're not giving excuses for our mistakes, but we need to work together to grow. Because we need to live that example that Christ did. Back to that story, it's amazing that they tried to set Jesus up that whole time, and he rose above that. He shined above all of that. His light shone right there. He exposed what was wrong in the woman and everyone in the crowd. Acknowledged the sin and then moved forward and loved the person. That's amazing. And that's what we all, as people, have to do. We have to live that way, live our lives how he did his. It's not easy. So here's a little homework for you guys. This week, walk around and think, how can I live my life as light? How can I be light in my workplace? How can I be light in my family? And then when I do get pushback, once again, you're going to get pushback. It's not going to be easy, because some people, if their hearts are hard, that's going to be God who's going to have to soften their hearts. And side note from that, that's also why relationships on the Christian's end are very important, to be genuine and trying to form relationships with people. Because anyone can spot somebody fake a mile away. Like, oh, you're witnessing to me, and then as soon as you walk away, you're never going to know anything about me ever again. Well, yeah, that's not good. We can't have that. That's why discipleship is important. That's why leadership is important. That's why honor is important. That's why when you live your life in that way, people will know who you are and know you're real and genuine. You can't put on a show, and Christ is not a show. You try to put on a show and say and claim it's Christ, you're dishonoring his name. I'd rather have you silent than putting on a show. So your homework is, what can you do during the week to be light? What is light? We explained that one. So how can we do it? It's exciting to me. How can I do that this week? I know it ain't going to be easy, but what can I do? How can I show light? All right, so I want to thank you guys, and don't forget to check out our website for other things we've written out. We actually have some new content coming up very soon. And check it out, that's www.whosoevergroup.com, facebook.com/whosoevergroup, and, oh yeah, Twitter, @whosoevergroup. Thank you guys very much, and we'd like to see you again, and make sure you leave a comment, and if you're on the website, you can subscribe, and also on Facebook, you can like the page and get notifications. Thank you very much. Bye.
produced by Caleb Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.